Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I'm your host, James Epperly, and over the next few minutes together, we want to open up the Word of God, find out what it says about us, our lives, how we navigate our lives, our relationship to the world, and hopefully leave changed and inspired. We do this Monday through Friday, but now on Fridays, we've been mixing it up a little bit. We just started a different version of Good Morning Live on Fridays, which we are calling The Breakdown, which we're going to take the top news articles or reports over the week and talk about it, and again, marry it with the Word of God and find out how we as Christians respond to all of it. So that's every Friday, 8 a.m. But for today, we're going to continue on our journey of living bold, right? We are living in a moment in our nation, in the life of the church, that the events of this past 2 weeks with Charlie Kirk's assassination and all that has happened since then, we realize we are living in times that demand the church to rise and to speak. And for too long, the church has remained silent. The church is backed up. We've not preached always the Word of God boldly, but that's not what we are doing in this hour. This hour, we are going to rise and be the children of God that we are called to be, the light of the world. And we're going to proclaim the good news of the gospel everywhere we go. So this week, what we've been doing on the live is finding out how we live bold, living bold because the times demand it, living or speaking bold and standing bold. And today we're going to dive into how to live bold. And so hopefully you're blessed by it. I do want to remind you, if you're watching on a platform, that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, depending on where you're watching. Please go ahead and do it. It helps us take this message further. We call it being a digital missionary. And how amazing that you can just share the gospel by hitting send or share or subscribe. All of it helps us get this out further. So please take a moment and do that if you can. Now, we've also challenged our viewers this week to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, would you reveal someone, just a person this week that I can pray for, I can share my faith with, I can encourage, I can invite to church? And we've said, we believe that when we begin to pray along that line, the Holy Spirit will be faithful and he will bring us that one person. So I've been challenging you. If you want to pray that prayer and get on in this journey with us, go ahead and type in the chat. I'll do it for the one. I'll do it for the one. And that'll let us know and our whole community know that you're taking this pledge to respond when the Holy Spirit brings that out or points that person out. You're going to do it. You're going to step out and be bold and share your faith or invite to church or encourage or share a part of your story. And we believe as a result, we are going to literally change the world. All right. So today I want to talk about boldness in how we live. Boldness in how we live. What's interesting about this, and we've been going back, you know, Sunday at Hope City Church, we kind of started talking about this whole thing, and we talked about David and Goliath. Yesterday, we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we keep circling back, if you will, to these basic Bible stories. But I believe the reason for that is, as we dive into boldness, the Bible is filled with men and women. That's why their stories were wrote and put into Scripture, why God chose them, is because they live bold. They live different. You know, it's not that they were the only people on the face of the earth at the time, but they may have been one of the only ones who decided to live boldly. So today we're coming back to another very familiar Bible story, again, to take inspiration from somebody who lived bold. And today I'm going to talk about none other than Esther. Esther, who lived bold, right? She put her whole life at risk to see the plan of God happen and the enemy's trap to be destroyed. And you can find this in Esther chapter 4, verses 14. And here's what Mordecai says to her. And it says, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this, whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Sunday, during my sermon, I had a line in there that, even though it's my own sermon, kind of just keeps going through my head. And I was talking about David and you know, how his brothers persecuted him, and Saul came to him and said, well, you can't go in front of Goliath. You're just a young boy, and tried to put his armor on David to make something happen. And I said this phrase, I said, but David sat in that moment. He sat in that moment. And I just kind of been sticking in my head and my spirit, because I feel like that's what we are doing. Like, David defeated the giant that was in his world, in his life, in that moment. We are called as followers of Jesus, as believers, to live in this moment. Now, the giant's name might be different than it was back then, but in our world and in your world, we all have giants. We, you know, the world has different gods. We talked about that yesterday. My God, I don't serve the same gods as the world. The names of the gods might have changed, but the world still has idols and false gods, right? And David's assignment was to defeat the giants or the false gods in his moment, in his day. And as followers of Jesus, as believers of Jesus, that just keeps resonating with me, that I'm responsible for this moment. This moment, where our culture is, where the world is, the state of affairs. God has positioned me in this moment. And I believe, just like, you know, the whole camp of Israel was in fear of Goliath, but God was roaming, who can defeat him? And came across a little shepherd boy who said, I know who I am in Christ, and I know who God is. Therefore, I should say, I know who I am in God. He didn't have the revelation of Christ, as he had not come yet. But, you know, and out of that boldness, defied the odds and came against the giant of his day. So I submit that to you because I believe we are sitting in a moment. We are sitting in a moment. And what you and I choose to do in this moment makes all of the difference. So what if the very reason that you're alive in this moment of history is because God placed you here now for his purpose? You believe that God placed you here now for his purpose? Listen, day one, we talked about boldness being what we say. Yesterday, we talked about boldness on how we stand, but boldness is not just about what we say and how we stand. It's about how we live authentically before God, how we walk out our calling without hiding, without compromise, how we deal with the crisis or the giant or the false gods of our day. I think Esther's story shows us that boldness means embracing identity, risking comfort, and living courageously for God's kingdom purpose. Come on, embracing identity, risking comfort, and living courageously for God's purpose. I've been talking about that because you can't talk about living bold and not talk about risking comfort. Comfortability and boldness are opposed to each other. And let me say, God hasn't called believers, his followers, to live a comfortable life. He's called them to live a bold life, to enforce the kingdom of God, to be his salt and light. Right? So let's never assume that, well, if this is uncomfortable, it's not God. It probably is God if it's uncomfortable, right? So I want to point out a few pieces of Esther's story today that will help us make this commitment to live bold, to live righteously, to push against the status quo of our day and see God revealed in the earth through us. The first thing I want to mention is having hidden identity. Hidden identity. As we continue to intertwine in this whole thing, the life of Charlie Kirk, you know, one of the things that he said that I have absolutely loved is that we need to live authentically and not be one person in the world as we are somewhere else. And what he was referring to is the pressure of the world to conform to their ideologies or their liberalism or their wokeness or whatever. And a lot of times, and especially what he has found when going to college campuses, and is that a lot of times people don't even believe what they're professing to believe. Like, they're not actually that liberal. They're not actually that woke. They're not against a lot of things that the world would push that agenda. But they pretend that they are, or they not even if they always say it verbally, but they kind of hide their light of what they believe and what they believe the Bible says and what they internally really believe about God and the state of our world out of this pressure from the world of, you better look like us, you better talk like us, you better believe like us. If not, then you're wrong. So what do? We dim our light, but that's not what God's called us to. He said, let your light shine before our men. Let's be a city on a hill. So how did we see that in the life of Esther? Well, Esther was Jewish, right? But her identity was initially concealed in the Persian palace. And you can find all of this in the book of Esther. And for a time, she blended in. It was her way to survive, right? But God actually positioned her for influence. There came a time in her journey where Mordecai, and I have to pause every time I say Mordecai because I have no idea why, but for years I would pronounce his name Mordecai. And one Sunday I was preaching on Esther, and my wife Sarah came to me and she says, who's Mordecai? And I was like, well, Esther's uncle. And she said, do you mean Mordecai? And I don't know why. I just realized I don't know why I've made up words, and I don't know if it's my surroundings. I don't know if it's my upbringing. I don't know. But one time I was preaching we always called, and this is totally off the topic, but graham crackers, at least from what I remember in our house, we called them Graham crackers. And I don't know where we got that or I got that from, but for years, I just knew them as Graham crackers. And again, it was Sarah and we were dating again after service. I had mentioned about Graham crackers and she's like, do you mean graham crackers? So I thank God that she stuck with me and chose to marry me after I was calling them Graham crackers. So if you're from the Pennsylvania, Lancaster area, if you say Graham crackers, please let me know. Or was that just something that I made up or that was wrong in our house? I don't know. But yeah, I used to say Mordecai, but it's Mordecai. So side note, but at one point in the life of Esther, Mordecai challenged her to reveal her true identity and said, Esther, you have to live authentically. And actually, here's what he said to her. He said, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise, but you and your father's house will perish. You and your father's house will perish. So Mordecai said, listen, you got to start living out of your true identity, living boldly and publicly with who you are internally. And listen, in this culture and in this day, many believers are hiding their faith out of fear of rejection, out of loss, out of ridicule. But boldness means refusing to hide who you are in Christ. You know, it's a crazy thing today, actually yesterday, you know, not only was you know, Charlie Kirk killed, but then this week, some protesters, you know, a memorial that was set outside of Turning Point came through and kicked it all and tried to destroy it. And then yesterday there's breaking news that, you know, the bomb squad had to be called because there was a bomb, you know, planted or what seemed to be a bomb planted outside of, you know, Turning Point. And it's like the world wasn't even just satisfied. You know, those opposing voices weren't even just satisfied that his voice was silenced. Right. And it's like the pressure to contend. So of course, as believers, we see all of this, right? And there's this pressure to, hey, listen, I, I'm just going to hold my voice. I'm not getting involved in that mess. I'm not doing that. That's too much for me. But listen, boldness means refusing to hide who we are in Christ. It means refusing to water down or hide what this book teaches. When you followed God and you made that decision, you made a decision to follow this book, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, right? So this is God. This is His Word to us. So when you begin to water this down, you're not following the gospel. You're not following Jesus. You're following your own desires mixed in with a little bit of inspirational scripture, right? But living boldly means what the book says about life, about holiness, about how to please God, about what God loves and what God hates. If it says it, come on, I have to believe it. You know, one thing about scripture that you'll find is God never actually asked your opinion. Right? Like, He didn't get saved and said, all right, well, follow me and share your opinion. No, He just said, follow me. Follow my word. Right? So your opinion actually can differ from scripture, but you're supposed to crucify your opinion on the altar of what God said. All right. I know this is a lot for 8 a.m. in the morning, but maybe we should move this live stream to later in the day. I don't know. So we have to live authentically. We have to live out of the nature of who we are. We are redeemed, blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled children of the Most High God, called to show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness, out of darkness, out of darkness to show and into His marvelous light. So He brought us out of darkness and put us into light. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. What purpose has salt? Come on. If it loses its saltiness, come on, it has nothing. He said, who lights a candle and puts it under a bushel? No, but He said, I've called you to be that light on a hill, a light in the darkness. So Esther had to learn to live authentically. And she had to be obedient to her call, even when it involved risk. Esther had to risk her life by approaching the king without invitation. You've heard this story before. You know her famous line, if I perish, I perish. And this is not a guilt trip to anybody, because I'm preaching to me just as much as I'm preaching to you today. But when you hear words like, if I perish, I perish. And it's like, I get challenged sometimes because I feel led to talk to somebody at the gas pump. And it's like, I'm an introvert by nature. So I'm completely shut down. You know, I'm like, I'm not, you know, this just must not be me. This must, you know, this is probably the devil. Get away from me, devil, right? And here I'm struggling just to have a conversation with somebody at the gas pump, or to witness or share my faith in a welcoming environment. But here we have Esther saying, if I perish by doing what I know is right, if I perish by taking a stand for righteousness, if I perish because I've risked it all to save the people of God, to save those who can be saved, then I perish. But it's worth it. Man, and if you just shine a light sometimes in that, in our world, and how often we reject anything that's scary or anything that takes boldness. Listen, authentic faith requires risk. It might be social risks. You might lose friends. You start talking about your faith. You start being bold in what you believe. You probably will lose friends. It might be financial, even physical. But listen, living boldly may cost relationships. It may cost opportunities or reputation, but it is worth it to fulfill God's plan for your life. As Esther was obedient to the call to risk, she was able to see God's providence at work. God orchestrated Esther's rise from an orphan to a queen. He positioned her in the palace at the exact time her people were threatened. again, maybe God hasn't called you to a palace. Maybe he has. I don't know who's watching today. But he might have called you into that work environment in this day. And we got to quit thinking that, you know, a 9-to-5 job is our assignment, you know, just to do that. No, if we're there, it's because God has positioned us there for a reason. You arriving at that grocery store and seeing that person in line in front of you that for some reason they just stick out to you like a sore thumb. What is that? It's the Spirit of God just highlighting them to you. He positions you in that moment, in that particular time, in that particular day to be a light or a witness to that other person. I don't know. So just like Esther was put into the palace for an exact time when her people were threatened, can I tell you, I believe that God has orchestrated your day. God has orchestrated what you're doing. God has orchestrated when you arrive and when you get there and who's going to be there and when you're going to see him. Why? For the purpose is he's looking, who can I send? Who can I send into the field? Who can I send into the harvest? We say 4 months until harvest, but God says, lift up your eyes. It's harvest time now. Listen, boldness doesn't just save us. It positions us to be a part of God's larger rescue plan. You don't know what's going on in that other person's life. You don't know what they've been internally talking about between them and the Lord. You don't know what's happening behind closed doors. And that might be the appointed day for their salvation. And God said, I'm going to put them in the giant grocery store, and I'm going to put you in line right behind them. And I'm going to have confidence that when they stick out to you, that you're going to be bold enough to proclaim the good news. And they might even spit in your face and walk away, but you have no idea what you've done. You have sown the word of God to them. They might get in the car and begin to weep long after you're gone. They might lay in bed wrestling with your words all night. Like, you have no idea. Or it might be God's last chance to give them an opportunity to repent before they leave this world. And they may reject it, but you speaking to them was their last lifeline. Not everybody grabs it. I know this is bold. I know this is heavy. But come on, church, we have to begin to wake up. We have to begin to share our faith. The answer to the problems in our world isn't more legislation, isn't government, isn't anything else. That is always what the answer to our problems is: a revival in the land, is the hearts of the people turning back to God. And that will not happen because of legislation. It will not happen because of government. It will not happen because of a political figure. It will happen when the people of God rise up in boldness and begin to share their faith and wave to the world that we are here. We are believers. We are followers of Jesus. And this is the light of the world. This is the hope of the world. And that's when we are going to see change. That's when we're going to see things begin to turn around in our nation and in our world. So living authentically means trusting God's providence, even when we don't see the full picture, even if we share our faith and they reject us, even if we share our faith and there's some kind of loss to our lives because of that. So listen, your job, your family, your friendships, these may not be accidents. God may have placed you in their life for such a time as this. So not only do we live authentically before people, but we live authentically before God. Listen, authenticity means alignment. When what we believe and how we live match, what we believe and how we live have to match. They have to match. Well, I believe this about God. Then follow it up with your living. I believe this is what the Bible teaches. Then follow it up with your living. They have to match. Listen, Esther could no longer live in hiding. Her bold step revealed her faith and her allegiance. Her allegiance was even higher than the king. Her allegiance was to God and God alone. I believe that what the world is hungry for is not polished believers who, you know, have everything right. They know every response, but believers who authentically live out their faith to the best of their ability. Living boldly is less about perfection but it's more about integrity and honesty and consistency. People are drawn to authentic faith. That's why I've been teaching our church. Listen, when a believer gets it right, what do? Or gets it wrong, what do? We make it right. Not just for you, but come on. When you go and apologize, when you fess up, when you, you know, let your family see you stop living the way you were and start living the right way. Do you know what happens? It says, wow, there's something happening in their life. We live authentically, not just before people, but before God. So Esther said, or Mordecai, I almost said it again, said, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What if God placed you exactly where you are, not by accident, but to live authentically and impact lives? I've been challenging you this week. Will you pray that prayer and take that stand with us and that step of faith? I will do it for the one. Because here's where I'm at. I'm a pastor. I preach to, I mean, this program alone is literally watched around the world every day on the Pioneer Television Network. But when you add up all of our social media platforms outside of Pioneer Network and where everyone's watching on social media, over 1,000 people a day are watching this. I preach, you know, literally to thousands of people every single day. And I don't say that arrogantly. I say that because sometimes even as pastors, we can fall back. Why? I've been preaching all week long. I've been sharing my faith and I've been doing altar calls, but I've been saying, but Lord, when was the last time that I responded to that person in the grocery store, that I responded to that coworker, I responded to that person at the gas pump, and I allowed your Holy Spirit to challenge me and move me to have that personal face, one-to-one conversation with somebody. And I've been saying, Lord, I apologize for not always living authentically. I apologizing for dimming my light in social situations where I thought it wouldn't be acceptable. I apologize for, I've been in situations where it's like, please don't say I'm a pastor. Please don't say I'm a pastor, because I always knew that it would change the environment of those I was coming in contact with. But I've been convicted about that. And I've been feeling, nope, I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm proud of it, and it's an honor to do it, and I want to do it not just behind the pulpit, not just in the four walls of the church, but I want to do it on the street. I want to do it where my kids' school. I want to do it wherever there are people. Why? Because their lives are at stake. So again, I'm challenging us this week, because here's my thing, is if we just this week say, Lord, before Monday rolls around, Father, before Monday morning, please show me one person. Please show me one person. And I'm looking and I'm waiting and I'm watching for it. And when that one person just kind of sticks out to you like a sore thumb, you're going to know that this is the one. And you got to base how, you know, whether it's just walking up and saying, do you know Jesus? Whether it's just saying, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I just felt like I'm to pray for you. Can I pray for you? Would that be okay? Is there anything in your life you could use prayer about? Or, you know, if it's somebody that you know and you're in relationship with, or a coworker, just sharing your story and what God did for you and how he turned your life around, the hope that you found in this book, and inviting them to church. Come on. And here's what I'm saying. If we can do it this week and survive it, all the introverts, and survive it, what if we could do it next week as well? What if you did it every week for a year? That would mean you would have evangelized your faith to 52 people this year. I have a firm belief that the more you do it, the more God's going to use you to do it, and the more confident you're going to become, and the bolder you're going to become. And I believe it would be far more than 52. But what if we just said, Lord, once a week, show me someone to share my faith? That means you would have personally shared your faith with someone else 52 times in 1 year. I'm sorry, I think that's great. But it has to start somewhere. It has to start with us saying, I'll do it for the one. So if you want to take that stand with us and say, hey, I'm an introvert. I'm not bold. This is new for me. This is risky, but I will do it for the one. If God points that one person out that I want you to type into that chat right now, I'll do it for the one. What are you doing? You're letting us know, but you're committing to God. When that moment happens, I don't know when it's going to be, but I believe God will do it this week. I don't know who it will be. I don't know if I already know them. I don't know if I don't know them, but when that person just suddenly stands out to you or you make eye contact and you just know, uh-oh, I think this is it. I think this is it. That you're going to say, yep, I'll do it. And then we want to hear your story. I want you to respond. I want you to chat in. I would love to just send you an invite to hop on a live with me really quick and just tell your story of what God did in your life this week and how you shared your faith. Because I believe when we share our stories, it will bless other people. It'll encourage other people. Why? Because when we live boldly, it courage sparks courage. And they're like, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it. If they can talk about how they were afraid and they stepped out, but I can do it as well. So would you do that? Would you type in, I'll do it for the one. If you have a story, let us know. Type it in, email us, or send me, if you know me, to send me a message. And I'd love to bring you on with us just briefly to share your story. But let's have the attitude that says, maybe we've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Let's live with boldness that says, if I perish, then I perish. But I will not leave this earth until I have fulfilled the plan and the call of God on my life. So Father, I pray, just as the early church prayed, give us boldness to declare our faith. Give us boldness to share the good news of the message. We repent for hiding our light. We repent for living in the shadows. We repent for being ashamed of your word. We repent of it, and now we stand tall. And we say, we will run to the darkness with the truth of the word of God in our hand. We will run with the light of the gospel into the darkest parts of our world. And we will proclaim truth to every ear. Because you're coming. Time is short. The hour is now. We sit in this moment. Tomorrow's promise to no man. So we sit in this moment. And we face the giants that are in front of us now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Oh, thank you so much for being on with me today. Again, I just want to encourage you, if you're taking that stand with us, go ahead and type into the chat, if I perish. No, don't type that. If I perish, I perish. No, type in, I'll do it for the one. I'll do it for the one. And that's you letting us know that you're going to take this commitment with us. And, yeah, so I will see you back here tomorrow morning, Friday, as we have our Good Morning Live, The Breakdown, which is where we're going to look at current events from this past week, talk about them from a Christian perspective, and see how we can make it apply to our lives. So anyway, be blessed. Remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.